Our Father in heaven, we come before you to honor and praise you, the maker of heaven and earth. We thank you that you are our heavenly Father and that you look after us, your children. May we take comfort knowing that you are always with us. We give you praise for the changing of the seasons, for the beautiful fall colors at this time of the year. And as we look and open our eyes, we can see the beauty of the earth with all its wonderful landscapes, its hills, rivers, flowers, and trees, all the things you have made. We thank you and praise you for your continued ongoing faithfulness and for the good things that we receive from your hand every single day. Each day is filled anew with your grace and mercy, and as a gift from you, as we just sang, open our eyes so that we may see the many blessings that we have from you and teach us to be grateful for every day. Sometimes life can take confusing turns and we don't always understand what your plan is for our lives. Sometimes we are in pain or have unexpected trouble in our lives. But we know you are always there with us, beside us. Help us to trust in you, knowing that you look after us. Lord, you are faithful and committed to your promises to us, which we are very thankful for. And above all, we want to thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. We pray especially for our country at this time, for the leaders and for our upcoming election tomorrow, that whomever is elected to office, both federally or locally, that they may lead faithfully and justly, that issues such as dealing with the poor among us are dealt with fairly, and that immigrants and those marginalized in our society may be recognized and helped. May our leaders be fiscally responsible while in office, similarly taking care of the environment, our land, our water and air, and all of our natural resources, which have become such a much bigger issue in recent months. Leading our country with its many diverse peoples and languages, cultures, and geographic regions is not an easy task. So give wisdom to our leaders to make them good and give them strength to make fair decisions. That said, dear Lord, we have much to be thankful for living here in this country of Canada. Merciful God, as we watch and listen to the news, we live in a world marked by wars, violence, economic oppression, religious strife, political turmoil, and family breakdowns. We see the poor and the oppressed around the world, and those who are dealing with famines, with corruption, or persecutions. Open our eyes to opportunities to help others in even small ways. May we do our part to make things better in this world for those around us. Make us be salt and light in this world, and may we learn to share our abundance with others. We give you praise and thanks for this place of worship and those who are gathered here today. We are grateful for those who give of their time and energy to the programs in Fellowship Church, for the office bearers, the worship leaders, the ongoing outreach programs. Send your Holy Spirit to guide our church today and in the future. We thank you, Lord, for the work that Mark does and continue to be with him and encourage him in his work among us and in our neighborhood. We also pray today for Pastor Leslie Milligan as she opens your word. Help us to listen, to understand, and be encouraged by your word. Bless her, we pray. Lord, we also remember those who could not be with us today, those who are at home recovering, or those who are too frail to leave their home. Be with those who wait anxiously for test results and actions to follow. We pray for the special needs of those in our congregation. We think of those who are going through cancer treatments like Alice and Kobe and Dirk. Be near to them. Surround them with your love. Bring comfort and healing, we pray. There are many more in our congregation with special needs. You know them all by name. You know their individual needs and their concerns. You know their personal fears that they face. Some may be suffering from depression or anxiety or loneliness or have financial struggles. Some keep their worries hidden and unspoken, but you know them, Lord. Each one of us here today needs your love and encouragement. We have loved ones that we hold up to you in prayer and concern. So hear our prayers. Alleviate our fears, and may we rely on your strength and encouragement as we face difficult challenges in life. Send us your Holy Spirit and fill our hearts with hope and joy, that despite what's happening in our lives, that we may know that you are with us on the path of life. We also pray for the collection today, for the church fund, and for denominational shares going towards disability concerns. May these gifts be used wisely and be blessed by you. Dear Father in heaven, on this day, may we all feel your loving embrace around us and peace in our hearts, knowing that you are the Lord over all things, that you will never leave us or forsake us. Lord Jesus, may your name be praised and glorified. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You talk about law. Law is not a good thing. And I thought, we need to explore this. Because I think sometimes we look at law, at God's law, as something that is constraining. It's about keeping us kind of, under his thumb as well. And when you talk about rules at home, I don't know if our younger members here feel this way, but my girls would often say, you're so lucky you have us, because we're really good. You don't need that many rules in this house. I'm like, maybe we need some more. We have a love-hate relationship with laws, right? The laws only apply to me when it doesn't get in my way. I like to describe myself as a driver as one who flies low, right? some people got that. The speed limit there is a helpful suggestion, okay? And yet we know it's more than that, that somebody sat down and looked at the road and said, this road can only take this kind of speed, and if we're all doing that together, then we're going to all arrive safely. But if we all think that we can fly low, there's going to be a problem there. So we have a love-hate relationship with the law. So I want you to kind of suspend that a minute before we read our scriptures this morning, and I want you to think about a different way of looking at the law. And I want you to think about it this way. Make a heart with me. You know, everybody does that on their Instagram now. And I want you to think of this first lobe as the law reminding us to love God. And this second lobe reminding us to love each other. And the bottom, we can do that because God loves us first. That's the summary of the law, isn't it? The law of love. So every time you kind of feel like I'm pushing into this is what you should do, think about how does this law, this commandment from God, help us to love him, to love others, because he loved us first. Often with children, we talk about the law as the 10 best ways to live, the ways that we can live into who God has called us as his people. So how does using God's name wisely help us to live the best? How does it open up to God's best for us? How does it help us to bless our neighbor to use his name wisely? How does it identify us as people who serve a powerful king whose name has power? Think about those things as we read our scriptures this morning. We're going to read the law from Exodus. I'm also going to read Psalm 99, and it was my fault that it didn't get put in. It wasn't the secretary or anyone else. It didn't make it into the email. And then we're going to look at Luke 6, verses 44 and 45. So first, here is the scripture, the law that we're looking at from the Ten Commandments. This is from Exodus 20, verse 7. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. So that's our focus on the law. And then I want you to hear from Psalm 99. The Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The king is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity. In Jacob, you have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called on the Lord and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them. Lord our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God, though you punished their misdeeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. And then finally from the New Testament in Luke chapter 7, starting at verse 44. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good person brings good things out of the good stored up in his or her heart, and an evil person brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his or her heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. This is the word of the Lord. So I want to just focus first on Psalm 99, because what did we hear in there again and again and again? What did you hear three times? He is holy. He is holy. He is holy. This is not a name to throw out willy-nilly. God's name is not something to kind of add to into our conversation to help us make our point a little stronger. And it's not to be diminished. God is holy. God is wholly other than who we are. God is not an abstract concept or thought. God reveals himself. That's what Psalm 99 says. When the world recognizes that God is there, the whole creation does what? It shakes, it trembles, it recognizes its creator. It reflects its creator. God is a God who wants us to know him. He reveals himself. And people today and throughout history may live as if he didn't exist or doesn't exist now. But I dare you to find somebody who doesn't have an inkling of his presence. Even the most atheist person has to step back sometimes when they hear the testimony of God's people. Now they'll try to find an explanation for why that wasn't God or isn't God. But more often than not, there are very few people who are truly atheists. A lot of them are agnostic. I know something's out there. I'm just not sure it's the God that you say it is. Isn't that true? I was reading an article in, I can't even remember. I do a lot of reading. I think it was Relevant Magazine. And there's a pastor who goes out once a week to a Tim Hortons or a local coffee shop, and he puts on a sign on his table and said, "Free prayer." He's busy all day, okay? People are yearning for this God who reveals himself, and yet there's that kind of hesitance. Is that the God that I want to engage with? And yet, most people are not offended that he's there, and many people will come and have a time of prayer with him. That says something to me. God is powerful. He's recognizable, even if all of our culture can't put a name to him. He reveals himself to everyone. He reveals himself to be great. That's what Psalm 99 says. To be awesome, to be powerful, to be holy and wholly other, to be loving and kind and compassionate, just and forgiving. So even as we hear this description in Psalm 99 of the earth trembling, we hear at the same time, you forgave. You forgave your people when they lost their way. This powerful God who is also merciful, something so different than who we are in many ways. And he's given us his name. He has shown himself to us in Jesus Christ. As the King of the universe, there is a power in invoking his name. I did not watch the show about kings and queens. What is it? Game of Thrones. I did not watch it. See, I can't even say it. But I know that oftentimes when people would arrive in that show, they would say who they were representing, right? I am here in the name of so-and-so. If any of you were into it, you can yell out the name. We see that all through history. If you wanted to show that the reigning ruler's power was also reigning at the far distance areas of the kingdom, you'd always say, I come in the name of Queen Elizabeth. I come in the... That's why we put their pictures on money. It's a way of extending their kingdom. I come in the name of. Well, we serve this great and powerful king. Every time we use his name, we are declaring, I come in the name of the King of the universe. So what does that mean to us? We've got to use it wisely. We've got to use it in a way that blesses, that draws people in, that allows them to be introduced to a God who is both powerful and merciful. In the Old Testament, we are reminded again and again that words have power. From the creation story, God spoke and it was. God spoke and it was. We are image bearers of God. Our words also have power. Not certainly in the way of creating out of a word, but our words can cause blessing and can cause damage. Words have power. And we're reminded, even in the names that Old Testament folk gave to their children, and the names that they used for God had power. They were predictors and descriptors of who God is and who they wanted their children to follow. Elohim, my creator. Jehovah, my Lord God. El Shaddai, my supplier. Adonai, my master. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. It goes on and on. God's names describe who he is, who his character is, and the way we use his name can bring a blessing to the people who hear it and can also cause terrible hurt and damage to the people who use it. We live in a time when words don't have as much meaning, I think. We learn how to curate. I just finished a great book on reclaiming conversation. And she's a sociologist, and she says we spend most of our time realizing that words have power, so we curate them. And how do we do that? We make sure we put just the right words in our texts, in our posts on Facebook. And if you're a younger person, sometimes you don't have that ability to do that, and you realize, oh, wow, I just said something that hurt somebody, but I didn't realize how much power it had to that person because I can't see their face. This book talked about the whole families or couples that actually argue on text because they curate what they say, because it's scary if I'm in conflict with somebody and I bring my whole self to them and I might say something that I haven't had time to really think through, and will you still love me after I've said it? We know that words have power, and we try very hard to find ways to rein that power in. Words have the power to bless and the power to curse. God's name has the power to bless or the power to curse. God is holy, and what we call him is intimately bound to how we see him. Another powerful truth when we think about God's name is that God actually listens when we call his name. Have you ever thought about that? Every time somebody says, OMG, and I'm not going to say it, God listens. They're calling his name. There isn't a parent or grandparent or an aunt or uncle in here who, if you heard your name from a small child, you wouldn't turn your head. Most of us still listen. My kids are 27 and 28. I still hear a kid cry and go, is that mine? I still hear the word mom in a park. Is that mine? Oh no, mine aren't here. Right? Because it's a powerful thing to call somebody's name. We would never, what good parent would ignore their kid? Unless they were on the phone and they had things to do. Right? God, every time we use his name, he hears. Yes, what did you need from me? I'm here. I love you. I'm your father. Are you okay? God's name, every time we call it, reminds us that he listens to us because he's the creator, the Lord God, the supplier, the provider. So, this is one commandment that actually has a curse attached to it. No one will be held blameless for using that name in vain, for calling out willy-nilly, but not really wanting to talk to God, for using it in a curse to someone, which again, I'm not going to say, but we all know it, we've all heard it. I listened to a story yesterday. I was doing a workshop on family faith formation, and a gentleman stood up and said, my father grew up so convinced that you did not use God's name in vain, that when he was in the shop, he had the wrong glove on when he was using a drill, and the glove got caught in the drill and damaged his hand. And all he said was, ouch. Why? Because he was so convinced that he could not call out to God in anger about the pain that he was in. Ouch. And that stuck with his entire crew for the rest of their time together as a team, that God's name was not to be taken in vain. That he could have cried out, God, help me, I'm in a bad way, but he was not going to use it in anger. He was not going to shout out just in pain. He was going to be diligent in how he used God's name. So, what does it mean to misuse God's name? I think when people use God's name in a curse or to put somebody else down or to say, I want you to stop this kind of action, and we all know those words, we're misusing power. We're somehow pulling God in to somehow say, I can't take care of this, so I'm going to pull somebody bigger in to tell you where you need to go. Right? Especially when we invoke his name to hurt others, we realize the power of God's name. We need to be reminded that when we speak his name in sentences, when we use his name, we're giving testimony to what we believe about him. We need to be reminded that as a culture, we don't always mean what we say and don't always say what we mean. So we need to be careful how we attach those things to God's name. You know, words have such power that even at 58, I can remember a really mean thing my sister said to me. You know, our mom would always say, sticks and stones, Leslie, sticks and stones can break your bones, but words will never hurt you. And I'm here to say that my mom was wrong. Words can hurt. They can live deep into our experience. So we need to be careful how we use them, and we need to be careful how we attach God's name to it. Our language reflects our inner understanding of who God is and how he interacts with us and the world around us. It reflects the conditions of our hearts. We heard in Luke, each tree is recognized by its own fruit. A good person brings good things out of the good stored up in his or her heart, and an evil person brings evil things that's stored in his or her heart. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Every time we use God's name and the way in which we use it reflects what we think about him and how we interact with him. So, we can't use God's name lightly as if his name has no consequence. Every OMG somehow says, he's not really here. He's not really powerful. Even in a little text like that diminishes what we believe about who God is and how he interacts with us. I often think, and I'm amazed at how often people that I interact with will use not only God's names, but it almost hurts me more when I hear Jesus Christ in front of something. It just gets me. I'm like, do you not know the sacrifice that Jesus made for you? It gets me. And yet I almost wonder that because it's so prolific in our culture, so it's on TV now. Back in the olden days, for those of you who are younger, it couldn't even be on TV. That was considered forbidden. But now it's everywhere. And I almost wonder if it's kind of a rebellion. We'll show you how much we don't need God. We're going to use his name whenever we want, wherever we want. And yet, using it as rebellion still recognizes that there's a God to rebel against, doesn't it? If we use it to curse people, rather than to bless them. It goes against God's character. If we use it to say something like, I swear to God, to somehow make our truth be truer, we're misusing his name. Our yes should be yes, our no should be no. We should be able to tell the truth without having to add that into the story. How we use God's name with reverence, how is it the best way to live? How is it more than just a texting an OMG or forgetting and saying, in my world, we're not even allowed to say gosh or golly. Maybe some of you grew up that way. It was just a step aside, right? It just reminds us to be thoughtful. So what does it mean that it could be the best way to live? And here's what I want to challenge us to this morning. Every time we say God's name in a way that is with reverence and acknowledges who he is and the character that he reveals to us, we bring honor and glory to our Maker. We need to use his name for his praise and his glory. It is the best way to live because it underscores our allegiance to him every time we speak his name well. That we are children of the risen Lord, sent by the Father. We're his representatives, so we use his name well. Every time we use God's name well, it's the best way to live because we remind those around us and even ourselves as we speak those words that we still believe God speaks to us and listens to us through his Holy Spirit. And so we are very careful how we use his name so we don't attribute anything to him that isn't revealed to us in his word. And it honors the relationships we have with our neighbors. Because when we remember that if we do not follow the 10 best ways to live, it's our neighbor who usually bears the brunt of that first. That when we use God's name to bless and to invite people into relationship with the most powerful and yet most merciful, loving God, we are blessing them. We are drawing them to a new and better place. That is the best way to live. It may seem that what we need to do as we go out in a world where God's name is thrown around everywhere with very little weight and very little consequence, that we need to spend our time defending God's name. And there may be times when we have to do it. But there also may be a different way to do it than just to say, you're offending me. We have to trust that God can defend his own name, amen? Because he can. How can we use those opportunities to draw people into the lovely name of the Lord, the name of the Lord who wants to have relationship with people, rather than putting up a barrier and just saying, you're offending me, I hate it when you say that, you're offending me, you're offending God. How can we have a conversation that draws people into to a place where they recognize that this God whose name they are using wants to be in relationship with them? I hold that out to you, that when we use his name and we have conversations about him, we're talking about a real God with a real name who is really holy and really, really wants to be in relationship with all those people who recognize his name but don't know what that name is attached to. May we be the kind of people that invites others into conversation, that uses his name to bless and to draw people in to a new understanding of who this holy, loving God is. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, it is almost overwhelming to think that when we call out to you as Father, that you lean in. You love us so much. That when we say your name, we are invoking the name of the King of the universe, and we still get to say your name. Oh, we thank you, God. We thank you for your love. We thank you that we can approach your throne because of the grace we've received through your Son, Jesus. May the way that we bear your name, say your name, identify us as your followers and as those who want to invite others into this incredible relationship that we have with you in Christ. Be in our language. Be in the way that we have conversation with each other and with the world around us. May what we say be a blessing, be a picture in to what it means to be a Christ follower and a son and daughter of the great High King. We pray this in your name. Amen.